Okay. All right. Hope this will be an encouragement to every single one tonight. It was to me. I think we heard it even somewhat in spiritual growth. This is the thrust of spiritual growth anyway. But let's read in verse 18. And let's consider some things. So in the close of Peter's second epistle, after dealing with, speaking of these end times and the coming of Christ drawing near, but in the meantime, there are going to be these false teachers coming up and warning the brethren of all these things. And he concludes his letter from verse 17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Verse 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever." And God's people said, Amen. This matter of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ is what I guess the Lord laid on my heart to be encouraging you all this evening. Growing in grace, beginning with the word grow. The actual word is written in the present active imperative, meaning imperative is a command, grow, and the present active meaning it's a continual thing. So grow and keep on growing. And he said this grow, this command and keep on growing, in contrast to verse 17, lest you fall from your own steadfastness. So it's in contrast from falling. He's exhorting every single believer, you grow and you keep on growing. But grow specifically in some things. And he's saying to grow and keep on growing, beginning with this matter of grace. To grow in grace. Grace has, I guess, many definitions. We know it most commonly as the unmerited favor of God, which is true. We see that in Ephesians 2 and in other passages where for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we understand it to be this unmerited favor, but it's more that in this context here, he's referring more to the element of your conduct, more of this matter of substance and or characteristics, if you will. Context in which is encouraging and exhorting the believers, instead of falling from your own steadfastness, I want you to grow and continue to grow in this matter of grace. Following this word was interesting. We're not going to get too deep in every facet of it because time forbids me to be doing that. But we're going to look at some things. We're going to, whether you turn there or not, or you can just listen. In 1 Corinthians, we see there's an element in this matter of growing in grace, which is growing in thankfulness. This characteristic or this heart of thankfulness. And you see, 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That word thanks is the same word as grace. When you bow your head before you eat, what do you say? Let's say grace. It's a matter of thanksgiving. And we think of our theme for the year. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. One of these matters of growing in grace is growing in thankfulness, growing in appreciation. Be grateful, be thankful in the Lord. This is one matter in growing in grace. Another one we see in the scriptures is in growing in giving, this grace of giving. 2 Corinthians 8:4, "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." That word gift is the same word grace. "And they did so," and "this they did, and not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. There's this grace of giving. What in what area growing in grace does God want from us? Grow in this area of giving, but growing grace. He also wants us in this matter of growing in grace, understanding also there's an element here where it's also concerning our infirmities. They're given to us for a purpose. We would think that, you know, or we don't say it, but we would think that if I just didn't have these infirmities, whatever it is, whatever you may have, I can serve the Lord better. I can serve the Lord more fervently. I can serve the Lord in such a fuller capacity and much more if I just did not have this infirmity that I have. But there's a purpose to that infirmity, and there's a reason why God has not taken that away. And you see that by the testimony of Paul, saying in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me." Speaking of his infirmity, it's not clear exactly concerning what it was, but he sought the Lord three times that he would take it away. Why? Because obviously it was being a hindrance somewhat to Paul's capacity in ministering in the work of the Lord. In verse 9, "And he said unto me," we all know it, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore," this is Paul's response, "will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities." How many of us can say that? Praise God for this back injury that I have. I've actually praised the Lord for that several times, because there's been several times where it's been the cause for bringing out some things. And I said, you know what? Praise God for this back injury. Because using that, he's brought out some things, and he's definitely protected me from certain paths. "Rather glory more that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You see what Paul learnt from this infirmity of the flesh? This is growing in grace. Growing in grace. It's a practical thing. Practical thing. You also see there's an element in this matter of growing in grace where it's connected with patiently enduring injustice. Patiently enduring an injustice. We see in 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 18, he says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear." Notice this. "Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." That word thankworthy, grace. It's something worth praising. This is this growing in grace. Verse 20, "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults," if you deserve it, "and shall take it patiently." Well, if you've done it and you deserve what you're getting, what glory is there in that? "But if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently," notice this is acceptable with God. This is acceptable with God. This is what God is trying to teach us. You think, Lord, aren't you a God of justice? Absolutely. But always try and focus, like I've mentioned in preaching in past times, Lord, what would you have me to learn from this? What would you have me to learn from this? When you might be thinking this is an absolute injustice, and God, when are you going to step in and do something, when it's something directly to you and you're just obeying the Lord and submitting in this context to those that are, you know, your boss, for example, or those that are in authority even over you, and there's an injustice, and you think, what's going on? Well, you know what? God will take care of them. Don't worry about that. The judge of the earth will always do right. But as for you, there's something he's trying to not work in you, and also a testimony through you, testimony of his goodness, of his grace through you. Suffer wrongfully. This is what growing in grace also incorporates. You see, this growing in grace also incorporates, following this even chain of thought of thankworthiness, this matter of praise. What praise do you have? What thankworthiness is there to be received? is also connected with loving your enemies. Growing in grace is connected with loving your enemies. Who here loves their enemies? No, I'm not saying answer out loud, but who here can honestly say, those that are hard-faced against me, God knows my heart, I have no ill towards them. In Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy cloak also, thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." Now notice this. "For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye?" That word thank is the same word concerning grace, this thankworthiness. "What thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them." There's nothing different about what you're doing. "And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye?" Again, the same word. "For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest." Mate, what an absolute privilege. "For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." That's the goodness of God. "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." And so forth. This matter of thankworthiness, this matter of praise. Did you notice how when you exercise this matter of growing in grace, growing in this matter of loving your enemies, did you notice how the Lord said your reward is great in heaven? Because he's trying to teach us, even as he is growing us in grace, by the way, this is a working of God in our life, as we're going to see later on, that he is the one working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasures, of his good pleasure, and he does it through different means, and one of them is through this mean here, this matter of loving your enemies, growing grace. You also see in the matter of service, 1 Corinthians 15:10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." God's grace enables you to perform what he wants you to perform. "And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." You know when you know you're growing in grace, you know you're growing in the Lord, you're growing in these things, you know that all this labor and all this, if you want to use the word achievement, in the work of the Lord, you know it's got nothing to do with you. You know all you've been doing is abiding in Christ. All you've been doing is set your heart on growing in grace, growing in the Lord, seeking to have, as we're going to see later, even a right attitude in every situation. And your labors even, you're tired, you're weary, you just want to give up. There's this fire in your bones that just you just want to keep on, and you keep on, and you keep on keeping on. And all of that, sincerely, you can point back and say, trust me, it's not of me. It's not of me. And I'm not just trying to be, pridefully modest here. No, it's not of me. Like Paul said, it wasn't of me, but it was the grace of God in me. This matter of service, we see also in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." This matter of growing in grace is growing in service. Growing in service. Do you also see it heavily connected? This matter of grace in the context coming down to conduct, you see it heavily connected specifically with this matter of holiness. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. and Charlie preached on this, so I'm not necessarily going to preach on it, but we're going to look at it. This matter of holiness. Titus chapter 2. Now think of what we're reading. And there's a category, specific category, that every single one of us is about to fall into. And let me encourage you to take heed specifically, not to all of it, but even specifically to this category in which you fall under. We heard Charlie preach this matter in verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then the rest of the chapter goes on to describe conduct. And so you see what's connected with sound doctrine is your conduct. And let's continue in verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Notice this, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You see how much influence that you have, ladies, or especially the aged ladies, and what influence you have over the younger ladies that will carry on this conduct that will determine whether they're going to uphold and glorify the word of God or be a cause like perhaps you are because of what you're teaching them concerning this matter of blaspheming the word of God. Don't give room for that. Young men now, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, notice this, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Verse 9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Saviour in all things. Now, why have I gone through all of that? Because of verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And it continues concerning this matter of conduct, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This grace that's come to us teaches us to live exactly how we just read. It teaches us to, not be ashamed of this kind of living, not be ashamed of this kind of humility, not be ashamed of this kind of soberness, of this kind of lifestyle, of this kind of conduct. It upholds it. As a matter of fact, you find your honor in it. Every one of us. Because you're letting the grace of God have its way with you. You're growing in this matter of grace. Heavily connected with growing in holiness. 2 Peter chapter 1. You see, this matter of growing in grace, as we stick to the same epistle, I really believe Peter was just concluding this epistle with what he began with. He just, in summary, mentioned this matter of growing in grace. But you see this connection of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ here in 2 Peter chapter 1, which we will be continuing soon to move on to the next point. But notice with me here from verse 3, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. A lot of us miss that. A lot of us miss the very first step that God wants us to add to our faith. It's this matter of virtue. Many of us add to our faith instantly knowledge. Knowledge is good, and God wants us to grow in knowledge, as we're going to see in the next point. But too often this matter of virtue is neglected. Why am I laboring on this? Because again, the Lord Jesus Christ, even in this very epistle in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. It begins with virtue. And so this faith that we've come into through salvation, this faith in which we contend for, this faith in which we strive to uphold, we are to add to this faith or cooperate with God in adding this matter of virtue. Again, this word add is to cooperate with this matter of God working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He works it in you. Our response makes all the difference. This is cooperation. This is what you're doing, Lord. What do you want me to learn, Lord? And you grow in this matter of virtue. One man of God defined it as this way. It has to do with one's character. Holy moral excellence, Christ-likeness, also spiritual courage to stand and say no to sin. That's wickedness, just saying no to wickedness. A holy hatred for sin and a healthy fear of God. This is what this matter of virtue is. It's substance. It's actually referring even to not only strength, but specifically in this matter of excellence. And you can't help but when you think of this matter of excellence, you think of the testimony of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, where he says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him." And he was absolutely blameless, we even read in the next verse there. But this is this virtue that God wants us to grow in, this substance, if I could say, our convictions. Have you ever looked especially at a babe in Christ that's just, mate, taking in the sincere milk in the Word, and you look at them and you think, mate, that they might not know a lot concerning the Scriptures, but they got some substance there. They got some passion. They got conviction. Have you noticed that about someone that you can just see is just filled with the Holy Ghost? You just see them and there's something about this is the matter of virtue. Add to your faith virtue. And continuing on, to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience, and to patience, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know one thing that will hinder any Christian? There are probably many things that will hinder a Christian from following after this matter to grow and continue growing instead of falling from our own steadfastness. There's many things, but there's one thing that comes to my mind specifically, and Pastor prayed it. It's this matter of pride. It's this matter of pride. We see in James chapter 4, verse 6, we know it, wherefore God saith, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, accountability, and be clothed with humility. Why? For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace is the source of that grace, by the way, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you, and again to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You notice how in a lot of the epistles, when they make a point how God has taught them something, even specifically in this matter of grace, they go on to elaborate on things like this. More establish you, make you perfect, strengthen you, settle you, even in the epistles past. Why? Because this grace that they're growing in, this grace that God is working in their heart, this substance, this character, these characteristics, they're responding, and then they're exhorting the brethren to do likewise. This is what God is trying to teach us in this matter of growing in grace. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a lot there, and we can't get into it. Lord, speaking of His place, His authority to over us. Is He Lord or is He not? He can't be half-half. You have control over part. He has control over part. No, we understand that He's either Lord of your life or He's not. The very word means that. You can't call Him your Lord if you haven't honestly and sincerely given Him every part of your life. And Peter's exhorting them, grow in this matter too. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and of our Savior Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that glorious salvation that comes to you. Does knowledge follow in these matters too? Absolutely. For what purpose? You want to know Him. You don't just want to know about Him. You don't just want to know truths of Scripture and have this all this knowledge that all it's going to do is puff you up. The balance is you're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. You just want to know more about Him. You're not wanting to know truths and how you can just win an argument. You want to know about Him. And the exhortation is to grow in these things, grow in the knowledge of His deity, grow in the knowledge and in the depths of what was involved in this salvation of your soul. It wasn't a little thing. And when you grow in the knowledge of that, it gives you a heart like Paul had as well. In Philippians, he says, but what things were gained to me, he's mentioned concerning reputation and many other things, achievements. He says, those things I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. You know why Peter's exhorting us to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Because this is what we would start doing. Thinking so much more little of everything we're pursuing here on earth, all our achievements, all our reputation, all these plaques or whatever hanging up on the wall to count them but dung. I just want to win Him. I just want to know Him for the excellency of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in the same chapter, in Philippians chapter 3, This thing of pride that will hinder your growth in grace and hinder that right focus and motive in growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is because also the danger is that it's almost like you have an attitude of you've apprehended. You've been in it for that long. You know a lot. You know you've read the Bible through and through so many times, and you know this doctrine and that doctrine, and you know those truths, and you've preached these things, and you've taught these things so much. You know what? I'm at a place where I think I'm starting to get a handle on it. You know, when you start to have that heart there, you're finished. You're finished. You have failed to obey the word of God in this matter of grow and continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul said it, brethren. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Does that sound like a man that had a grip on it all? Does that sound like a man that got comfortable in the fact that mate, he had all this prophecy and all this knowledge, and he's planted so many churches and he's done so much in the work of the Lord? Does that sound like a man that's just taking it easy now? Brethren, I've not arrived. I haven't apprehended. And when you start to have that kind of attitude, you don't say that. You'll never say that. Sadly, probably some people do. But when you start having that kind of attitude, you will not grow in grace. And you will not grow with the right motive in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And do you know what will happen then? He will not receive the glory. He will not receive the glory. The purpose of growing in these things ultimately is to glorify God. Ultimately, yes, it's for our benefit. And in other scriptures, I can't turn there, but we even saw it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 concerning the church of Macedonia, that the grace that was upon them, they saw it. We saw the grace of God that was upon you. And that's what God wants of us. That's when someone would look at us, whether another brother or a sister in Christ, even the lost, they'll say, mate, there's something about that one. Mate, there's something about their attitude every time in these situations. There's something. You see what I'm talking about? It's this matter of grace. And elsewhere again, it talks about this will redound, that we will superabound in bringing glory to God. That's the purpose also. Many think, but that's the purpose also of growing in grace, to glorify, to Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Brother?